evening with a word that you will find in the second book of Kings, chapter 4, reading a clause in verse 31. The second book of Kings, chapter 4, reading a clause in verse 31. But there was neither voice nor hearing. The margin renders the word hearing in the Hebrew attention, but there was neither voice nor attention. These very words were brought into my thoughts early this morning, and it was in this way that I trust one was led to the word this morning, which those of you that were here will remember that it was to do with the prophet Elijah, who, as God had so favored him and helped him and blessed not only himself but the widow woman and her son, and yet her child died. And so the word this morning, and the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So then the subject this morning was indeed to do with a widow woman and her son, and how the Lord gave life to that son. And it was in this way that the widow knew that Elijah was indeed a servant of God. Now the word then this evening, but there was neither voice nor hearing. In this very striking account that we have read, we know that this record here concerned Elisha. How remarkable it is that we have the record of Elijah concerning the widow's son, and now we have the record concerning Elisha and the child born to the Shunammite. The Lord help us then in our meditation. And we must seek, of course, to speak of what had taken place before we can come to these words themselves. We have this record, and it is spoken of in verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. Now in the subject this morning, it was to do with a widow woman. And in the subject this evening, it is to do with a woman who very evidently was a person of some distinction, a person who would have been a rich woman and in a position of considerable responsibility in her life. So how different then is that we were seeking to speak of this morning, the widow woman, a poor woman, and now this evening, a woman whom God had very evidently blessed in the things of this life. But there was one great blessing which had been withheld from her. We must ever remember when we read the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, that ever since, or as God gave the promise to Eve and to Adam, when he declared this, that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. And from that day on, women, and I feel especially godly women, were very concerned that they might be blessed with a son. And there was this continual hope throughout the generations that as they knew that the promise had been given concerning the Messiah. Now, thinking then of this a godly woman, it's very evident that she was. She had been made such. And the evidence of this was to be seen in her very life. And how we have read, again in verse 9, and she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." She could not have perceived this only as she had been given understanding. And I'm sure that with this understanding, she was given a longing desire to help God's servant, to do all that she could for his benefit. And so in speaking to her husband, there was this that was said, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." Now I want just to notice this. The Lord was in this. This kindness that was shown to Elisha. The Lord was in this. The Lord intended that this dear woman should be blessed with a son. And therefore the Lord brought it to pass. And how often it is that the Lord, in bringing to pass his purposes, will bring people together. Have we known something of this in our life? The Lord brings people together. And when the Lord has a sovereign purpose to fulfill, he will bring people together. And he will bring people in his own sovereign way and manner to live and to be where they are to be. And that for a divine purpose of grace and to fulfill his will. I believe I mentioned this on the past Wednesday evening, but I just mention it again. You see, the Lord brings people to live where they are to live. The Lord brings people to worship where they are to worship. His sovereignty is to be seen in this, his guiding mercy. And he will have people be where he intends them to be. And when this is brought to pass, there is a purpose in it. Have we known something of this in our life? I think of what the Apostle Paul had to say as he was found in Athens and saw the inscription to the unknown God. And he could say this to the Athenians, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And among other things he said this, the bounds of our habitation are fixed. And that is how living souls desire it to be. They feel their great need of being led by the Lord. Have you had evidence of this in your life? Great mercy if we have. And then you see the Lord honored her kindness. It is, I feel, indeed worthy of notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, there was a little band of godly women who ministered to him. And here we have a godly woman who is seeking to help God's servant to do all she could for him. Now, just once more then, there was all that was bound up in this. And it was to fulfill the will of God. And I just add this thought. Dear friends, we shall never lose anything by seeking to do all we can for one another and for the Lord's dear people. We shall never lose anything. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the Lord then brought blessing out of this, because it was the Lord's will that after all that had taken place in this woman's life, that she was going to have a son. Now, how did this come to pass? I just mention it because it is bound up with the subject. And so we've read together, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said, to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. It is very evident that she had no desire for great things to be granted to her in her life. She had no wish to be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host. Now, she could say this. Can we say this from our heart this evening? I dwell among mine own people. Has the Lord given you a people to dwell among? Has the Lord made room for you in the land? We just think of what took place in the life of Isaac when there was strife among the herdmen. There had been strife in the days of Abraham. There was strife in the days of Isaac. And there's been strife ever since amongst men. And that because of sin. But do you remember that the time came in Isaac's life when another well was digged? There had been wells that had been dug before, and they had been names such as hatred and other names. And yet, you see, the day came, the time came with Isaac when he could name that well Rehoboth. And what does it mean? Because the Lord hath made room for us. Well, have we known something of this in our life? Has the Lord made room for us? What a wondrous thing it is when the Lord does do this for his people, when they are brought together in Christ, as we have been seeking to speak of recently, when one stick is joined to another stick and they become one in the Lord's hand, and when they feel this to be so, and when they have the witness of the Spirit in their heart that the Lord has made room for them, and when they are brought into union with the Lord's dear people, can you say tonight with Ruth, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God"? Have you felt this in your heart? Let me just remind you of another word. It's recorded in the first epistle of John, and it's this: we know, do we know? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now that is the work of the Spirit. Do we know what it is to love the brethren? Do we know what it is to feel to be the least? That is a good place to be found. It is the place of safety. It is the place in which we shall know something of Mary's portion. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Well, only the Lord can do this. And only the Lord can maintain this. And now the Lord was going to bless her. And again then we read, and he said, "Call her." But before this is recorded, and he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Now, to my own heart, this is a very sacred declaration. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Oh, that the Lord might call one and another this evening, as you're found here, that you might be feeling me brought to stand before God, and that we might be favored to hear the Lord's voice speaking to us, even this evening. Oh, if the Lord has brought any of you here with a burdened heart, an exercise in your soul, and you have this within you, "I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul." And now the promise then was given. Well, has the Lord given you a promise? The Lord may take one or another back in their life this evening to some particular time. He may take you back over the years to a time of especial or particular exercise as before the Lord. Now then the promise was given, and he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." This thing was so great. It was a great thing to her. Why, the very thought that she was going to be favored with a son. And one would look beyond this. We would look at it this evening in a natural sense. To those of you that have been blessed with children, the Lord knows all that has concerned you in it. And I feel sure of this, there are those here that if they should speak about a child or children, they would have things to tell out. They would have the exercise of their soul concerning the birth of a child and that went before and after. Friends, the Lord has often blessed the birth of children. He has used it as a means of grace, as a means of blessing. Some of us can testify to this. We can look back and thank God for what He was pleased to do for us when one or another of our children were born. She couldn't take this in. It was so great. And therefore she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." But friends, this is the point we would come to. The Lord had spoken. The Lord had spoken. And therefore it must be fulfilled. Whatever might be upon any of your hearts tonight, the Lord help me to tell you this once more. Has the Lord spoken to you? Are you carrying a burden? Are you carrying His word? Have you a word in your heart that you're carrying, that you're praying over, that you're waiting for the Lord to fulfill? Again, this might go back over many years. It may be in more recent times, but the great point surely is this: has the Lord spoken? I think of the hymn that speaks like this: what Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand, His truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. So then she was given her son, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Well, when the Lord does favor His people in this, and they do carry an exercise before Him, and they may be given a name. It's not perhaps often the case, but in some instances, the Lord has given to a mother or father, or perhaps both, but the Lord sometimes gives parents a name for a child before that child is born. I know I've mentioned this before, but I think of one's late dear friends, Mr. and Mrs. Beavis at Swanwick Shore. And the Lord gave them a son. And they gave him a name. The Lord gave them a name for that child. And his name was to be John. And how often it is when the Lord favours people in perhaps a particular way, can some divine purpose in it. And this John grew up, and at the age of 9 he commenced to go to the prayer meetings. He commenced to go to the services in the week as well as on the Lord's Day. 9 years old. But you see, the Lord was in it. And I believe he was when he was at the age of 19. It doesn't really matter. But the Lord took him home to heaven. And to the in that sense, as men view it, the Lord took that young man home in what men speak of as an accident. It was to do, his death was brought about as the Lord brought it to pass in his life, and it was to do with a motorcycle, as I remember it. You see, there was something in this, and the parents lived to see it. And they knew that when their son was taken, the Lord had taken him. You see, sometimes the Lord does take dear young people in early life. But what a mercy and what a favour it is when there's the witness that the Lord has prepared them. I think of my own brother who was taken at the age of 19. And yet I believe, indeed I feel that it is true to say, because my own dear father had this word put on his gravestone, "It is well." And I know that he would never have had it put there if he hadn't felt it in his heart. This may be a word for someone here tonight in some particular way, the Lord alone knowing what the future holds. Now we come then to the subject itself. And what is the subject? The subject is this: there was to be the trial of faith. It was so in the subject this morning. The widow's son died. And the dear woman said, "Hast thou come to call my sin to remembrance in slaying my son?" And yet, you see, the Lord was in this. That son was to live. There's going to be life. And so here, this boy died. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. That wasn't the end of it. That wasn't the end of it. And if any of you here tonight are under some particular trial, a time of solemn testing, a time when it seems perhaps that what the Lord has spoken to you has come to nothing, why, the word that came to me this morning was this: but there was neither voice nor hearing. There was nothing but death. But before we come to that particular part of the subject, we must seek to bring this before you. What did she do when her son died? She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Oh, what must have been her feelings when she took this boy up. But where did she lay him? She laid him on the bed of the man of God. It's very evident that she had hope in her heart. She certainly had faith in her heart. Because we have the record of this. And we would just notice. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Now this is the precious language of faith. This child was dead. But she could say before her God, "It shall be well." Has the Lord favoured any of us to be able to say this? Even as perhaps there are things in our life, as we view them today, there is neither voice nor hearing. Because to my own heart that speaks like this: but there was neither voice nor hearing. And I feel compelled to look at it like this. Here is a son that was dead. But there was neither voice nor hearing. And one thinks of it like this, as we think of souls that are dead. They do not speak about the things of God or the ways of God. There is no hearing, there is no attention. They take no notice of what is said to them. I'm speaking now after the manner of men. Why, how many parents have sought to warn their children, to speak to their children, and to tell them that they feel they must tell them concerning their souls and the way that they live, and yet it may well be that they take no notice. They will not listen. And that is something that is very hard to bear. And yet at the same time we have to say this. Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious? We do not know what the Lord may do, because the sinner sleeping in his grave shall at my voice awake. And when I once begin to save, that work I'll ne'er forsake. You may have those upon your heart tonight. And as you view them and as you understand them, you have to say this concerning them: Lord, they're dead. There's no life in them. But there was neither voice nor hearing. And yet, if we think of this in connection with our own life, we shall look back to a time when we said this, the substance of it: we will not have this man to reign over us. And dear children and dear young people, as you're here tonight, I feel I must say this to you, that if you speak like that to your parents, then you're speaking like that as before God. Because God has said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But there was neither voice nor hearing. But we must seek to speak of what had gone before. To Mount Carmel, and it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her. Now I pause here. Oh, that the Holy Spirit might make every one of us to listen to the word of God this evening, to see how we can answer this as before Almighty God. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Now this is the first thing. This is the vital thing. This is the most vital thing that concern us here tonight, concerning our never-dying souls. Could we say, as before God this evening, that it is well? Have we hope concerning our end and eternity? Oh, that the Lord might speak these words of Holy Writ into each of our hearts, that you might go home with this. Is it well with thee? When we come to die, we shall certainly need a real religion. Dear friends, nothing but a real religion is going to stand in the storms of life and in the storm of death. How will you answer then this question tonight, personally? Is it well with thee? Have you humble hope that it is well? And then the question was further put to her, is it well with thy husband? For the Lord alone knows how this may affect our hearts. Is it well with thy husband? Have you evidence in your heart this evening that it is well with your husband? And if you feel that it is not well, then are you concerned about him? Are you praying for him? And then this question also had to be put. Is it well with the child? Is it well with the child? Oh, the Lord knows how any of us are going to feel about this question. Is it well with the child? What questions these are. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered. Now this was the answer of faith. She very evidently had, as it were, this sacred persuasion within that it was well and that it would be well. And she could say, it is well. And yet her child was dead. And he was laid upon the prophet's bed. Now the Lord helping me then just to bring this before you. What happened? What was needed to bring this to pass? But there was neither voice nor hearing. Now this may be a description of a son or daughter or children or others to our souls this evening. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Now we have before us the way in which the Lord granted life to this child. And it's just the same as it was in our meditation this morning. What did Elisha do with this boy? And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. What did he do? What can we do as help is given? And he went up and lay upon the child. But first of all, we read this. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. He didn't allow the child's mother to go in, not as I understand it. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and laid his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Friends, if the Lord gives to us such exercise as this, we shall know something of it. To my own heart, there's so much in this. And put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. Oh, I believe that when the Lord does give gracious exercise, our very soul will be bound up with the souls of another, the soul or souls of others. Our very soul will be bound up with theirs, the exercise that we carry for them. And it will be a very solemn matter, because we know this, that unless life is given, they must die without hope and enter into that awful abode where hope and mercy can never come. Well, may the Lord then give to us such exercise as this, and where he has given it. I believe I've known a little of it as the Lord has given it for one soul or another. There's been this travail for them. And then there's this. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. Have we known something of this? Have we known what it is to walk to and fro? Have we known what it is to be burdened day after day? And our hearts have been up unto the Lord for this, these souls or soul that the Lord has laid upon us. I was only speaking yesterday to a friend who was speaking of his mother. And this godly mother kept writing to this son. And the day came when she wrote to him in her feelings for the last time. And what a letter it was. She said something like this in her letter, "My boy, I can pray for you no more." You see, that was, as it were, in her feelings. "I can pray for you no more." But you see, that letter was not lost. Oh, that touched the heart of this son. He had to go up into his bedroom and fall on his knees and plead for mercy. Now this then is how the Lord brought this child, his life, again to him. It was in answer to prayer. And friends, I feel, if one might put it like this, it was more than prayer. It was travail. And I'm sure of this, that when the Lord does give such travail and such exercise for a soul or souls, there's hope for us. There's hope. Amen.
May we be helped to conclude our service this evening by singing hymn number 412. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. Hymn number 412.